Well, I'm having a bit of trouble with my music here, and I had such great music planned. There it goes. Welcome. This is Sound Health Radio on BBS. The music you just heard was Blue Star Tranquility, Cut 1, The Five Tibetans. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host, and I'm delighted that you could join us for a bit of conversation and information. And we hope this is going to help bring you healing and peace and joy. Now, during our tenure at BBS Radio, we brought you a variety of guests who've dedicated their lives to help us all live longer and happier and more productive lives. Today, Dr. Daniel Benoit will be joining us. His topic is holistic healing and bioenergies. And later on in the program, we're going to need a volunteer. So if any of you have a pain, a backache, a frozen shoulder, get ready to call us during that part of the show. Not now, just hang on a bit. But we'll be calling for that later, and Dr. Benoit is going to give us a demonstration of his techniques right over the air. Before that happens, as usual, I have a few announcements. One, most of you know that we have another show on BBS called Vocal Profiling Live, where we do actual vocal prints and analysis of people live on the air. Well, normally that's on Monday evenings at 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern. Well, Don's rearranging the schedule again and has moved us to Thursday evening, which I don't mind because we're right after a great host, Dr. Carly. So join us then, and we're going to be sharing with you the end of the story about Chris and Nikki that some of you have been following. They are a married couple that were having some issues, and we were attempting to help them out by comparing their vocal prints. Well, Nikki discovered something about Chris that's totally mind-boggling. So if you're a regular listener and you want to hear the rest of the story, that's Thursday at 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern. Second announcement, it was great to get all of your emails last week. We promised the first three people who wrote that we would send them a trial copy of the nutrition program. We got nearly 80 requests, so we're trying to get some of those out to you. We're going to have to do this again because there are just too many and not enough of you got your trial. If you haven't got your trial yet or nobody's contacted you, please get in touch with Heather at vocalprofiling.com. And don't forget that you can join us for free classes, too, by emailing Heather and joining those demos. They're online. You don't have to come here to Ohio. Okay, the third announcement concerns some emails that we got from our audience concerning biphenols. That's a chemical that's been reported as being leached into our food supply from canned foods, and it's causing birth defects. Well, we decoded the biphenol and subjected the frequencies to our magic number cruncher and discovered that the biphenol interferes with your B2. That's a riboflavin, micronutrient. Our reasoning is that if this interferes with your B2, and we tell you about it, and you get on some really good absorbable B2, then the biphenols will have less of a chance to cause you some problems. I looked this up in the literature, and the literature states that biphenol causes birth defects and interferes with hormones. Well, I looked up B2 then, and it also helps prevent birth defects. And it's intimately involved with thyroid, adrenal, and reproductive hormones. You can get B2 from milk, cheese, leafy green vegetables, liver, legumes, soybeans, yeast, and almonds. And last announcement, I'll keep it real short. Several of you have inquired about the continued recovery of Robert Day from macular degeneration using our sound techniques here at the Institute. Well, Robert is driving now. I mean, he was legally blind from macular degeneration, but he's driving now. He reports that he can read street signs. He loves his new freedom and his returning eyesight. He says he uses his sounds faithfully every day and is taking the nutrients that his vocal profile indicated. We're going to have him on a Sound Health show soon so you guys can talk to him. He's really a delightful gentleman. Okay, that's enough announcements. Okay, Dr. Benor, he's a holistic psychiatrist. He uses body-mind approaches, spiritual awareness, and healing in his practice. Dr. Benor is the author of several volumes on healing. He's a radio and TV personality, and he's appeared on shows, radio and TV, throughout the world. Dr. Benor, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure being with you, Sherry.
Our audience is a very aware group. They're aware of health issues going on now with conventional medicine. They very much want to have the best health techniques available. Can you share with us just how a conventional MD, psychiatrist, got involved with holistic healing and bioenergies?
Kicking and screaming.
That's good.
I was a horrible, horrible skeptic because I was trained in psychology, medicine, psychiatry, research. I thought I knew it. And then a friend asked me what I thought of healing. I told him in no uncertain terms, stay away from that nonsense. Well, he challenged me and asked me, had I ever observed healing? Did I know really what I was talking about, in essence? And I had to admit that I had never seen a healer. So the next thing I knew, I was watching a healer, this was 1980, doing a healing on a young man who had a little lump under his nipple. Now, this was painful to him when he was wrestling in college. He wasn't a believer in healing. His parents had just pushed him to come because he was scheduled for surgery a few weeks later. And this healer did a laying on of hands, not on the lump, but on his chakras, the energy centers on the midline of the body. And in half an hour, that little lump shrank. And that was a cure for my skepticism as well as for his lump.
Can you explain what happened?
No. In a word. I just have seen that healers can bring about self-healing in people or energy healing that's activated by the healer, or the healer is maybe bringing in extra energies or unblocking blocks to energies. We have all sorts of possibilities here, but so far, we haven't figured out a way to prove which way it is working. But the most disturbing to me were the healers who said, well, it's not me, it's God, or it's Christ, or Mary, or the saints who are doing it. And that part I could accept, but when they started saying, it's your grandmother doing it, and she's standing right there next to you, being a psychiatrist, that kind of worried me. And after a while, I started doing research to see if there was any evidence to prove that all of this really worked and wasn't just imagination or self-healing like a placebo kind of healing. To my surprise, I found lots and lots of studies showing that healing not only worked in people, but it works in animals and plants and bacteria and yeast and cells and enzymes. So anyone who says that healing doesn't work just hasn't looked at the evidence. But then I realized that when I was learning healing and offering people healing, I hadn't really shifted much from the medical model, which has the doctor being the one doing the treatment and the patient sitting there patiently waiting to be treated. So gradually, I shifted into helping people heal themselves. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching people a system that I call WHEE, W-H-E-E.
Sounds fun, like WHEE.
It is, and that's what they say when they're through. Because in minutes, I can help a person let go of pains, let go of stress or distress, things that bother them. And I'm not doing it. I'm just teaching people how to do it for themselves. So they go home and they can go on practicing it and helping themselves whatever way they need.
Well, if any of the audience would like to speak to Dr. Benor, the call-in numbers for the station are 877-876-5227. And in Canada, 888-815-9756. And as always, for those of you using your telephone line to listen, you can send us some email on your computer at radio@vocalprofiling.com. We don't know why, but most of our listeners like to send an email. So we'll probably have a few questions before the evening's over. So what you're really talking about is conventional medicine, you know, gives you a pill, cuts you open, so it's outside to in, but still your body has to do something with that pill, and it has to suture its own stuff back together, even though there's some catgut there helping it. So what we're talking totally then is healing from within. And you talk about this in terms of bioenergies. Could you explain bioenergy?
When people move their hands close to each other but not quite touching, and people in the audience, listening audience, could do this, and then they start to move their hands a little bit away and then a little bit closer, maybe move it, your hands 12 inches apart and then back towards each other again, many people can feel a sensation between their hands. Have you ever done that, Sherry?
Absolutely.
And what kind of sensations do you feel?
A prickly heat, almost hot.
Yes, yeah,
it's almost like a chemical burn.
Mm-hmm. That's the most common kind of feeling, and when it's really strong, it's a sign that you've got good healing energy. But some healers, for some reason, don't even have that. We don't know why. But the fact that it is there for most people tells us that what's happening is the energy field around the body, on one hand, is interacting with the energy field of the other hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes these sensations.
When I taught parapsychology at the college, one of the issues we had with this is people tried to engender that energy from themselves, but we tried to teach them to bring it up from the earth because energy was so abundant. They just wore themselves out trying to give energy to other people because they didn't use it in a circle. They used it from them to the other person who needed it. So, yes, it's an incredible, peaceful, energetic, you know, I get high in just sharing energy with people.
I've heard other healers, Sherry, say that they can't go to sleep at night if they do this too late in the day because they like yourself, get just really energized by the energies that they're transmitting. And, well, and like you say, it is better if you're bringing in the energies like earth energies. Some of the healers believe they're bringing in divine energies or cosmic energies. So that is probably a safer way for a healer to be doing it, not to be depleting their own energy.
Well, I don't care what they call it, if it's Aunt Mary or whatever, but we all seem to describe it in the same way. It's this peaceful and energizing at the same time, sort of. That's incongruous, but that's kind of how it feels. Now, and one of the things you said before, all of these skeptics that laying on hands doesn't work and whatever, you know, when you can affect a parasite or yeast and heal it, it doesn't have anything invested in whether it gets healed or not. I just think that's awesome that this is universal across animals and plants and humans and whatever. Oh, and we have a question from the audience. You talk about healing. This is from some buddy named Ralph. You talk about healing energies from within. Isn't that just? Oh, I can't see all my email here. I have to open this a little better. Isn't that just going back centuries when that's all we had because there was no modern medicine then? Well, that's a good question.
You're right on track there, because we have had our natural energies probably as long as we've been around as a species. And so what we're talking about is rediscovering something that has been forgotten by Western medicine. Because Western medicine focuses mostly on the body, the physical body. It's kind of odd to me, as I have studied this, that conventional physics, the physics that tells you what's going to happen if two cars crash together or how much load you can put in an elevator before the wire breaks that's holding it up, that's called Newtonian medicine. Well, Newtonian medicine turns out to be different from... I'm sorry, that's Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics turns out to be different from quantum physics. Now, quantum physics says that the chair that you're sitting on is more space than matter. And that sounds kind of strange if you're not used to hearing that. But they've pretty well proved that over the past century. And most of science has accepted that quantum physics just is different from Newtonian physics. Newtonian medicine has never left the starting gate in terms of understanding that the body can be addressed as matter, but it could also be addressed as energy, just as physics does.
You have a really very simple, nice chart in your book. And I'm talking about How Can I Heal What Hurts, and I have volume 2, that defines the Newtonian and quantum physics. I had an experience with this when I was really young. I was probably in my early 20s, had kids in the car, and I came around a corner in this community, and there was a little boy on a bicycle darting out in front of me. I didn't think I could stop fast enough, and I will swear that little boy drove right through the hood of my car, across the street. I was just stupefied. And so that's my experience with there's a lot of space. It wasn't time for him to go, and it wasn't time for me to hit him. But it was an awesome experience. I don't think I'm crazy or my eyes were playing tricks. And there was another person in the car with me, and we both saw the same thing. Just awesome.
There's more to this world than we really understand, isn't there, Sherry?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I've got some questions I'd like answered first. You've written this whole series of books. Because I want people to run out and buy these, can you just talk about kind of what's in them?
Sure.
There's everything in them. It's just hard to describe the research that you've done and the people you've talked to. I can't do it in a few words, so I thought maybe since you wrote them, you could.
I tell people these are my babies that have been 20 years getting born, because I started writing in 1980 and went to England for 10 years and half-time was writing there and studying healers. And then I published them when I came back to the States. And the first book looks at 191 scientific studies of healing. It's actually available in two versions. The first one is for normal people and tells about what healers say they do, how they do it. It also reviews the research, but in a light way that anyone can understand. And then there's a professional version of that book, and that's for doctors or researchers who want to know all the details of the statistics and how the studies were done. Now, as I was exploring healing, I realized that a lot of what happens seems to be that the healer turns on or helps a person turn on for themselves their innate inner healing ability. So volume 2 looks at that. And again, there are two versions, one for the professionals that's called Consciousness, Bioenergy, and Healing. And then there's the one that you have, Sherry, and that's How Can I Heal What Hurts, which is a lighter version and also has 100 pages on different ways that people can heal themselves. It goes into lots of discussion on how we get ourselves in trouble And you know, Sherry, we all make this silly mistake when we're little kids. We let a little kid program our computer. Our lifetime onboard computer has been programmed by a child. And so we have childish programs in our mind that are guiding us. So if a thing hurts, what does a child do? A child buries it, forgets about it, or runs away from it. Because a child can't change its parents, it can't hire new parents, and it can't run away, it can't leave. So then we're left with that habit as we grow up. If something comes along that bothers us, we do our best to run away from it. But you and I know, Sherry, that that doesn't work. Because if we're running away from something, it's just inside us. It's like our shadow. You can't run away from it.
Still in the closet.
Yep.
That's an awesome concept. Our child programmed our computer. Boy, and probably did it with crayons. We really need to go back and reevaluate. Is that part of what you do in your Wii courses?
Exactly, Sherry. What I do is I show people a way to let go of anything that is bothering them. And this is so simple that a child can learn it in 10 minutes and then can go home and teach, you know, their brother and sister or parents how to do it. I can even teach this over the phone, which is why I made this offer on air, that if someone has a pain or if someone has a distress, something that's making them uncomfortable that they'd like to let go of, we can do it over the air.
Well, if we don't get a guinea pig, because our people are kind of bashful, I've got a pain underneath my breastbone where they took out my gallbladder that I've had for years, so we could use that if nobody calls in. There's a quote in this book. There's a lot of quotes in here that I love, but this one by Larry Dossey, I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure.
It says, this is in Chapter 1 on self-healing, in our efforts to explore human illness, we have looked where the light is good. In some cases, we've been fortunate enough to find valuable lost keys. But the problem in most diseases is that the keys seem to be lost in many places at once. And the search leads us deeper into the dark, where the chains of causation weaken and break. In terms of modern medicine, can you talk about that? Or in terms of anything you want, because I just think it's a great quote.
I really love Larry Dossey's work. He's so brilliant in explaining holistic healing. He's been one of the guiding lights for many years. When I talk about healing, I like to say I'm a holistic healer, and I spell that with a W. The W means I'm addressing with the person their whole being, starting with body, and then going into their emotions and their mind, their relationships with other people, their relationships with an environment, and their relationships with spirit, with their higher self, God, Christ, whatever they identify, that's something beyond themselves that they're a part of, and that's a part of them. So when people come for we're not just looking at the symptom, we're looking at what the symptom means in a person's life on every level of their being. And that's why we is so powerful and so helpful.
And looking at modern medicine where they specialize so much, they forget that whole with the W, don't they?
Well, modern medicine has gotten stuck in the body as the main way of helping people. Well, that's fine as long as you believe that we're just a bunch of chemicals. But if you believe that there's more than that and that our consciousness is a part of what happens in our lives, in our relationships, and in our body, well, there are several other layers that we can go to. I was a real skeptic about the spirit part of it, but then I started looking at the research that's been done. And I was amazed that on 6 continents on this planet, they've looked at things like near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences. All of the research on different continents is very similar. So when they look at a near-death experience that someone's had where they've died and they've come back, and the report is from India or it's from America or Europe or Africa, the details are very much the same. And one would think if someone was just making this up, that each continent, each culture would have a different way of explaining it. But they describe it just the same. And it's children, many times, who are describing this, so they don't know to make it up in order to, you know, be the same as someone else because they've never heard of anything else.
Well, Ian Stevenson's book on 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation certainly proves that. And Larry Dalsey's work with prayer and how you can affect somebody on a different continent certainly proves it. I think we just call things spiritual when we can't explain them by Newtonian physics.
Sherry, I used to think just like you, and even worse. I thought God was a father image that people just wanted to hold on to. And I was a real atheist and a skeptic. But as I got into exploring healing personally, and then as I got into teaching people how to do we, I found that it's possible to actually feel the power of something greater than ourselves in our own experience so that we know it has a power for us. And I can demonstrate that with the we as well.
Well, we're going to do that just right after we talk about some unusual things that you have in your book. But we also have a question here, and it's about just what you were talking about. It's from Nancy A. Spiritually, why do people become ill? Doesn't God arrange people's lives in a way to teach them lessons? Isn't each challenge supposed to be an opportunity? So why stress about any of it?
I love the question. That's exactly what I say to many people. I ask them, do you know what the difference is between concern and worry? And what would you answer, Sherry, if I asked you that?
I don't know that I know the difference, but I have a rule for me. I do everything that I can do to help or hinder a situation that I want to happen or not happen, and then I accept because I can't do more than what I've already done.
So you're talking about concern. That's a wonderful definition of concern. We do what we can about it, and then we don't stress because we've done what we can. But worry is fretting over it. It's thinking to oneself, now what's the worst that could happen here? Or what did I not do right? Or what did someone else not do right? That's fretting and fussing and worrying. So a lot of what we can do to help a person is let go of that worry.
And I want to jump back to conventional medicine just a minute about symptoms and disease. We had a lady in a clinic last week, and she had multiple sclerosis. And we were helping her retrain her muscles through frequency and brain entrainment. And she said, do I really have multiple sclerosis? I said, you have the symptoms of multiple sclerosis. What you really have is an inability to replenish your myelin sheathing. No doctor had ever addressed that with her, and it was so obvious in her vocal prints, because we work with a lot of MS patients. But I think that's kind of how medicine shortchanges it, conventional medicine, shortchanges itself. They don't look at deeper than the symptom. So that's just my prejudice. And I wanted to say that when you talked about it a minute ago.
I'm absolutely with you on that. Too many people get stuck just looking at the symptom, and they don't bother to ask, what could this symptom be saying about my life? I've had people with pain 10 years, 15, 20 years. They've had all sorts of treatments from all sorts of doctors and therapists and tests and examinations. No one ever asked them, what do you think this symptom is saying about your life? When I ask people that, 9 out of 10 people right off can give an answer. So then we're able to start working on what it is that's behind the pain.
In all of the books that you've written, do you have a favorite technique that you've written about?
Well, I have to tell you, I really like the we. I've found it so successful that in the last 5 years, I've been giving a money-back guarantee to people who come on my telephone seminars or come to my workshops. And people can get on a telephone anywhere in the world. I had a woman call in at 2 o'clock in the morning from Ireland, because we were doing it in the evening in the States, and she was able to participate right from her bed and then go back to sleep. But what I do is I teach people first to look at the symptom and ask what it is about their life, and then if they're ready to let go of it, to start working on their body along with their mind. And when they put the two together, then the inner self just lets go. It just knows that we're not going to run away from it. We're just going to be there until it lets go. And so it does let go.
Your demeanor is so gentle. As you're talking, I'm getting information about my own issues here. This is neat. I asked you if you had a favorite section, you know, of these different kind of healing techniques. I have a real fascination with your chapter on unusual human abilities.
Oh, that's a wonderful one, yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about Jack Swartz or maybe Patsy Neal? Those are incredible stories.
There are people in this world who are just so not uptight, and they're so aware that their body is just a part of their higher self and of their consciousness that they can tell their body, now look here, we're going to put this needle right through this arm.
And sometimes big knitting needles in Jack Swartz's case.
Yeah, great big thick needle. And this body here is just going to relax and let that happen. And when we pull that out, this body is just going to put itself back together right away instead of waiting around for the usual things to happen to make it heal.
Jack Swartz describes, he makes his blood go so fast it swishes right by the hole so he can't bleed. Isn't that awesome?
That is just wonderful. There are also people who believe a higher power does it. There's a whole group of Sufi practitioners in Jordan. And they are able to pierce their bodies with swords or nails or knives. And they pull it out and their body just heals right away. And they do that as an act of faith to show that they have faith in a higher power.
There was one in your book and that they stuck the thing clear through their abdomen from the front to the back.
Yep.
That would kill most people.
Now, well,
go ahead.
Another one, Sherry, is holding a hot coal or walking on hot coals. Now, I've done that.
Yeah, so have I. It's just, it's a high you can't describe.
It was so amazing to me because, again, my left brain, my skeptical side, after we had this workshop, 4-hour workshop, and we were marching out to that fire pit to the tune of Star Wars to inspire us, well, everybody lined up to go across the pit, and I went to the side of the pit, and I held my hand over the pit. I couldn't hold my hand closer than 7 inches. Because it was just too hot for my hand to get any closer. And I took a little tissue from my pocket and threw it on there. And sure enough, it turned crisp brown and then burst into flames. And these other people started walking across the fire. And I said to myself, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And sure enough, I walked across these coals and my feet weren't hurt one little bit.
What gave you the courage to take that first step? Just seeing other people do it?
Yep. But we had spent 4 hours in giving away our fear, in anchoring our confidence in a gesture. The gesture that this teacher used was a raised fist to say, I can do this. I know I can do it.
Now, I didn't have any preparation when we did it. There were some people came down from Canada, and they wanted to honor what we were doing here at the center. And what they did was they were going to walk on coals to honor what we were doing. And I was saying, phew, that's just incredible. But when they were doing it, I just went up there and had this place in my head at the other end where I could watch. And it's like I was over there already, and I just went through. I really didn't think I could do it. But it just happened.
It's absolutely marvelous when we do it. And then I had another experience, Sherry, that was surprising to me. I had a friend who learned firewalking instruction, and her way of teaching was very gentle, very different from the first fellow. She taught that the firewalk isn't as important as listening to your inner voice about whether it's safe or not safe to walk across this fire. Well, I started thinking to myself, is it safe? Is it not safe? I don't know. How do I know if it's safe or not safe? Well, as I started listening to myself arguing about it, I realized that since I wasn't sure about it, it just wasn't safe. Now, for me, that was a big step because I wasn't used to listening to my inner voice. I was used to analyzing things and going only by logic and reason. So for me, to listen to that inner voice and to just go with it and to not do the fire walk was helpful to me in gaining confidence in my inner voice.
Well, we're getting right up to the time where we want to do this we technique on the air, so the number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and the Canadian number, 888-815-9756. And Dr. Benor, I have to tell you that as we are doing this, and I'm just talking to you, I've had this pain in under my sternum for years. I now know why it's there. The whole technique has worked, and you haven't said a word about what it really is.
So how's the pain feeling?
I don't have any.
Aren't you wonderful, Sherry?
But I certainly know why it was there.
Okay. And that's the first question. Now, many people aren't as ready to let go as you are, Sherry. And so they get the answer of why it's there, but then it's hard for them to let go. And so we is a way to help them to let go. And it could be that it's a physical pain, just pure and simple, but mostly it's because there are some fears or worries or stress around it. Sometimes there's anger there underneath. So then we work with a we to let go of the feelings that are there. And people find that we is good when there isn't physical pain as well. It could be a psychological pain they're wanting to let go of. And we works just as well for that.
Well, we'll give people a few minutes to call in, but we've got another question here. Dr. Benor, I am not sure that I want to walk on hot coals, but I have a question.
I'm not encouraging you to do that.
I just can't get my mind around the idea that we can heal ourselves from within. Haven't we been taught forever that the doctor and hospital is the way to go? How can we turn this national thought process around to your way of thinking? That's a good question.
Well, I don't ask anyone to be a believer.
Okay, we have a caller. Caller, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
What's your name, caller?
My name is Ula.
Ula?
Yes.
Okay, are you ready to have Dr. Benor work his magic on you?
Oh, I certainly am.
Well,
okay.
I'm not working any magic on anyone. I'm just teaching you to do magic on yourself.
Yes.
Okay, you guys are on. I'll stay out of it.
Okay, Ula?
Yes?
Can you tell me what it is that you'd like to work on?
It's a lower back problem I've had for years. I'm not worried about it, but I am concerned because I need my back for working.
So how long have you had it?
About 50 years.
50 years?
Yes. And
how old are you?
I'm almost 70.
And how did this start?
I had very hard physical work last night, and at the end of the evening, it just popped out on me. It's happened ever so often, and then I can go months, even a year or two, with it just fine, and then it comes back.
Okay. So, what were you lifting yesterday?
I was working as a waitress.
Right.
And how old is she?
Almost 70.
And you carry those big trays around all
yes.
the time?
I am otherwise in pretty good health, but my back is very weak.
So it was a tray that you were lifting?
Not at the moment, no. I was just running around the corner and off the restaurant, and then that was it.
So you twisted it, or what did you do to it?
I think it was just overexertion in some way.
Uh-huh.
But it's because it keeps coming back ever so often.
Okay. So right now, Ula.
Yes.
If you think about that pain.
Yes.
What do you think it might be wanting to tell you? But wait. Before we ask that question, how strong is the pain? If 10 is the worst it could possibly be, and 0, it doesn't bother you at all, what number would you give it?
It's trying to stand up straight. Then it's a 9.
Okay. So, what do you think it might be wanting to tell you, this pain?
I have thought about this for years, and I haven't come to it.
And when it happened the very first time, what was happening?
Oh, that was a time in my life I was not very happy.
What was going on?
I was sad. I was living in another country, and I missed America terribly.
And then how did the back start hurting?
How does it start?
Well, when it very first started, did you do something to injure it or strain it, or did it hurt just by itself?
Yeah, it was. I lifted something very heavy at that time.
Okay. Now, as we're talking about it,
yeah.
Can you ask your back if it's willing to talk to you in a normal voice instead of shouting at you?
Yeah, I can ask my back to speak softly to me.
Yeah? And can you promise that you will listen if it speaks softly so it doesn't have to shout at you?
Yes.
Okay, now could you stand up and just check how strong the pain is?
It is nicer.
What number would you say?
Oh, about 5, 6.
Lovely, Ula. So you're sensitive, because some people, the pain will only go down, like, you know, from a 9 to an 8, or from a 9 to a 7.68. So from a 9 to a 6, that's good. Now, would you like it to go down a little more?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are you standing up?
Yes.
Okay. I would like you to take turns with your toes, making your toes tight on one side and relaxing, and then tight on the other side and relaxing, back and forth.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you right now.
Can you make your toes tight?
Yes.
On one side and then relax them, and then make them tight on the other side and relax them?
Okay.
Just back and forth, right and left, okay?
Yes.
And while you do that, you say out loud, even though I have this pain in my back.
Even though I have this pain in my back.
I still love and accept myself.
I still love and accept myself.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And you take a nice deep breath. And then you relax and release. And then you pause and you stop with the tightening your toes, and you ask yourself, okay, what number is it now?
Oh, that's a little better. Probably about 4 or 5.
Okay, so from a 6 to a 4 or or five, yeah? So this is how to do it, Hula.
Yes.
You can do this on your own.
I can hear that.
But,
I so appreciate you.
But Hula, your pain is there to warn you to be gentle about your back.
Yeah.
And so you may want to just stop when it gets down, you know, maybe to a 2 or a 3. Because it sounds like you have a tendency to keep, you know, that back injured again. And so if it's needing to tell you to go slow a little bit and gentle, then you need to listen.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you. Blessings to you both. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Ula. That was absolutely awesome to hear that and to hear the change in her voice.
Yes. I have people who come to my workshops, and I tell them that at the end of the day, they're going to look 5 years younger. They're going to be so de-stressed. And I had a woman who said, "Ooh, can I come twice?"
I have a question. I don't exactly understand it, so I'll read it exactly as it's written. In what you do, is what you do an alternative to what is available? Is this only in psychiatry, or is this across-the-board medicine?
I have taught this to physiotherapists, to massage therapists, to psychologists, to school counselors, to school teachers, to nurses, to mothers who want to help their children or want to help themselves. So this is a do-it-yourself healing.
So it's not just psychiatry that you're dealing with, although that's your expertise. It's you're dealing with all kinds of other issues, I think is what they're asking.
I'm sorry you mentioned that word.
Oh, dear.
I'm trained in psychiatry, but I trained when it was all psychotherapy. That was way, way back, many years ago. And then through the years, it became more and more medication. I was probably one of the most unhappy psychiatrists you could imagine because my passion is to teach people this sort of work to help themselves. So I needed to study, to learn, to develop we for my own stress, as well as helping my clients. These days, when someone says they're a psychiatrist, the picture that most people get is that they're just prescribing medication. So I want to make it clear that I'm no longer prescribing medication. I'm just doing psychotherapy.
How can people get a hold of you so they can do this with you online or on the phone? Or how do you do it? Do you do it like a conference call, or are you available for seminars? And
oh yeah, I love it. I just love teaching. So I've been around the world doing workshops, lecturing. Even when I lecture, I like to make it an experiential lecture. And I have this website that's the Holistic, Holistic, Healing Research, all one word, holistichealingresearch.com site. And if you look on the left column of the opening page, it says We there. And you'll find articles about it. You'll find lower down appreciations, people telling how well it helped them. And there's also a workshops section where you can sign up for a telephone workshop or for an in-person workshop. I'm doing one near Toronto in the beginning of January to teach therapists how to do we so that they really understand it on a deep level. And I'm willing to go just about anywhere to do these sorts of workshops or lectures.
Okay, so they can just contact your agent or you through your workshop or through your website?
Yep. I also give a money-back guarantee. So anyone who's skeptical, you know, don't be afraid. You're going to lose your hard-earned cash.
We've got 3 or 4 questions here. I can't decide. In your book, you talk about placebo and nocebo. Can you talk a little bit about spontaneous remission, and is that a placebo effect? Must be somebody who's read your book.
Well, placebo is just a word that doctors have given for self-healing. They've given it a bad name because it's a nuisance to the doctor who's doing research that anyone who's in the study could get better on their own. The doctor wants to see what the effect is of the medicine or the surgery or the other treatment, but here are people who are getting better all by themselves. And that's the same thing as suggestion or self-healing. The nocebo is the negative suggestion. Like if someone gets a diagnosis of cancer, many people see, oh my goodness, all they can see is the coffin coming closer. Well, they don't look at the other side of it, which is when someone gives you a statistic like 50% of people aren't going to survive in 5 years, the other side of the statistic is that 50% of the people are going to survive. So the question is, how can you become one of those people who are going to be in the surviving group? And we can certainly be a help in de-stressing that would help a person get there. We can also help people when they are getting chemotherapy or other medications to have far fewer side effects.
And for those of you out there concerned about anti-aging, there's a lot of material out there that says the less stress, the longer you live. That's a good idea, if you want to live longer.
In Volume 2, there's a stress inventory. This tells you if you're getting into the danger zone with your stress. They give a certain number of points for different problems, like the worst of all that you could imagine would be having a child die, and that's about 120 or 123 points. And having your marital partner die, that's 119 points. Those are the worst ones. But some positive things in your life can be a stress as well, like getting married or getting a new job. So if you do that inventory and you find that you're way up there, like over 200, you really need to start working on your stress, because then you're in danger of getting an illness.
We have about 3 minutes, and we have two more audience questions here. In your book, you talk about the mystical state described by meditators. Is it possible for an ordinary person to get in this state, and is this an exercise that you cover?
I have, in Volume 3, lots and lots of reports of people who have gotten there in different ways. I also put together a workbook for Volume 3, and that's available on my website. You can get either of these workbooks, the We Workbook or the Spirituality Workbook, as an e-book, as a download. Or you can order the paper copy.
And you just heard it on the air. He can do this stuff. One more question. I don't think you can cover it, but we'll try. Well, that's a negative statement. Any thoughts on what can be done to reverse the resistant pathogen issue? Where do you practice? Are you taking new patients? You already covered that. But what about reversing the resistant pathogen issues that we've created?
When people explore this self-healing technique, in 10 minutes, they know it works. So I don't have to do a cell job. I just say, check it out. And then they know that there's an alternative to many other ways of getting treated.
And they won't have to worry about these resistant pathogens, because they just won't be able to get in. We are out of time. I want to leave with a quote from your book by Florence Nightingale. It may seem a strange principle to enunciate as the very first requirement to a hospital that it should do the sick no harm. That's incredible where our medicine has gone.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Benor. We're out of time. And be sure to join us next Thursday. That's Thanksgiving. I'm not sure what kind of show we're going to have, but I think it's going to be about Thanksgiving and how this country really should be thankful for what's going on. And another thing from Dr. Benor's book, no one can make you feel any emotion. You do it on your own. So he can help you live this concept of what you feel is your own stuff and finding information. It was beautiful the way he had this lady talk to her own back.
Thank you, Sherry, for having me on.
We'll see you next time.